And last week I was preaching on that word knowledge, and I made this statement that there are three kinds of knowledge. There's inherent knowledge, things you know just because you do, like your heart knows to beat, you know, your lungs know when to breathe. That's inherent knowledge. God put it in you. And then there is knowledge that comes through reading and studying and trying to learn. I thought about something funny years ago, me and the Rochesters, and I think another family, it might have been the Irwins or somebody, we was all in Texas, and everybody was just kids, and they were homeschooling their kids, and one of the daddies, I can't remember which one it was, came in and said, "Okay, guys, it's time to do our schoolwork." One of them said, "Daddy, I don't need an education, I'm just going to be a gospel singer." But anyway, there is the learning through reading and studying. And then I made this statement, there's learning through experience. And ladies and gentlemen, there are some things in life you will never know until you experience it. And I believe the Lord, every day of our life, lets you and I learn from our experiences. Now, I know the Bible said God answers prayer. I know that. But when he answers my prayer, I experience it. I know the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what the Bible says. And I believe it. But when I experience it for myself, I know the Bible says that God's going to meet our needs. That's what the Bible says. But when the Lord meets your need and he meets my need, it's more than just something we read. We have experienced it in our life. Often I'm asked, where did I go to college? Where did I go to seminary? Where did I go to school? And most of the time, instead of giving a long list of credentials, I just tell them, I am a graduate of the School of Hard Knocks. Anybody here ever been to the School of Hard Knocks? Anybody feels like you have a diploma sum cum laude from the School of Hard Knocks? And every day of our life, I believe the Lord is trying to teach you and I something. I thought about this and I wrote down some things about men in the Bible, what school God let them go in. I thought about Noah. He went to shipbuilding school. I thought about Moses. He went to the Desert Advanced Learning Center. Job went through the school of suffering. Gideon went to God's military academy. Paul went to Christ's school of fine arts. David went to Harps Music Conservatory. Samson and the prodigal and Brother Joe Arthur went to reform school. Peter went to occupational trade school and became a preacher. But I want to come to the book of Jonah today and use a statement I've heard my daddy use many times, that when that whale spit Jonah up, he graduated from Whalefish University. And wouldn't it be bad for Jonah to spend 3 days and three nights in that whale's belly and not learn anything? And I know right now some Old Testament students are going to say, okay, the Bible doesn't say whale, it says great fish. Well, I like to direct your attention to the book of Matthew, where Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale. And if Jesus called him a whale, I'm going to call him a whale. And I don't know where, boy, I hope this comes out right. I don't know where your whale belly is going to be this week, or what experience you're going to have. But I believe if you'll listen and look to God, you'll be a better Christian the next day than you were this day. Because God's going to put all of us at one point in Whalefish University. And we'll learn some things by leaning upon the Lord in our life. I don't have time to read all of the book of Jonah, but let me just read you some select verses. And then we'll gain our thoughts from that. Jonah chapter 1 verse number 3. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Look in chapter 1 and verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Come to chapter number 2, verse number 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And notice what the Bible said he prayed. Look what it says in verse number 9. But I will sacrifice with thee the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I vowed unto thee. Salvation is of the Lord. Look in verse number 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. I'm glad that's not the end of the story. Look in chapter 3 in verse 1. And. But aren't you glad at the lowest point in your life, God put an and. At the darkest moment in your life, God put an and. Even when you're reaping the consequences of bad choices, I'm glad God put an and. Chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. I love this line. The second time. Boy, I'm glad he's the God of second chance. And today, if God gives you a second chance, that doesn't mean you're second class. That just means where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And of course, you know what God tells him. Go to Nineveh. Go preach. And look what happens in verse number 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And look down in verse number 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. God used Jonah again, even on the other side of his rebellion. It looks like to me that Jonah not only learned, but he graduated from Whale Fish University. You say, Brother Joe, what did Jonah learn in the belly of that whale? He learned exactly what you and I need to learn. And I'm going to give you three things out of the text that I believe will change our lives when we learn from the belly of the whale. Number one, according to the first part of chapter 1, he learned the depths of the love of God. Honey, as Jonah is riding in that whale's belly down in the depths of the sea, he is learning about the depth of the love of God. And immediately I hear somebody say, oh, Brother Joe, how do you see the love of God in such a book? It starts out with the whole city under the condemnation of God. The city of Nineveh, 120,000 lost souls are under the cloud of the judgment of God. Their wickedness was great and their sin was high. And God was tired of that. And he's coming to give and bring judgment upon sin and the sinners. You say, Brother Joe, where do you see the love of God in that? I see a great manifestation of the love of God. Because God had not only saw their sin, and God not only was getting ready to judge their sin, but he loved them enough that he stayed that judgment back till they could hear a message from a man of God that God is going to give you an opportunity to take the wrong and make it right. And that sovereign, righteous, three times holy God that's coming in judgment will restore you, will forgive you, will bless you if you will believe the message that he's going to send. I'm glad, ladies and gentlemen, that God loved that lost society so much. He was willing to stay his judgment till they could hear a message that God had an antidote and God had an alternative to their life of sin. And aren't you glad today, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I wonder if there's anybody in this building this morning, you're glad God loved you enough and stayed his judgment enough and kept you from hell long enough till you could hear the message of the gospel and learn of the salvation of Jesus Christ, and you trusted him as your Lord and as your Savior, and you're not headed for the judgment of God. You're headed for the celestial city of God. That is the love of God. These people were sinners. They were horrible sinners. They were sinners that hated God and hated God's people. And the sad thing I learned studying the life of Jonah, he hated them and despised them more than anybody else. And it just cut against his grain that he had to swallow his racism. He had to swallow his prejudice. He had to swallow his tradition and go over there and tell people that he would love to see burn in the judgment of God. God loves you. God cares for you. God will save you. And if you repent and believe God, he will spare you of the judgment. And I want to say, Preacher Jonah, you may have something against them. There may be a tradition you have against them. There may be a bias you have against them. But Jonah, the God that saved you and the God that called you and the God that anointed you, he loves every person. He loves every man. He loves every individual. And I want to tell you something today, ladies and gentlemen. If your heart is filled with hate and resentment, I'm telling you that did not come from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible said in the book of Romans chapter 5 that the love of God is imparted unto us through the power of the Holy Spirit when we believe on Jesus Christ. Yes, God so loved the world, he loves people that we don't even love ourselves. That's why hatred and resentment and being ugly and mean to others, it's not of God. I hope every wife heard what I said. Being mean and hurtful to others is not of God. How many of you men hope your wife really heard that point right there? I'm going to tell you what America needs. They need a dose of the love of God. I want to tell you what society needs. They need a dose of the love of God. If you ever realize just how bad a sinner you were and what all God had to do to love and save you, you won't have no problem loving and helping and ministering to somebody else. Can I tell you today, you can't preach the gospel to the wrong person. You can't invite the wrong person to Jesus Christ. I tell our foot soldiers, our soul winners, when we canvass this community and you knock on somebody's door, the wrong person cannot answer. The wrong person cannot be invited. Oh, by the way, have you heard the latest rumor on your pastor and you guys? Here's the latest rumor. Brother Joe Arthur at Harvest Baptist Tabernacle, they let anybody come to their church. You got that right. All are welcome and none are refused. Man, I'm glad you guys let me come. If you could have heard me praying last night, all I had to confess from this last week, you may not have let me come. You wouldn't have let Julie come if you could have just saw what I saw. Austin, help me out, my brother. Oh, how many of you understand? You don't have any problem understanding God forgiving others because you know how precious it is that He forgave you. I am not trying to figure out why God loves Mike Collins. I'm not trying to figure out why God loves Brother Poole. I'm not trying to figure out why God loves Brother... Well, Jim, I am kind of warning about that. But really, I am not overwhelmed that He loves David and He loves Mark and He loves John. But I want to tell you what tore my nerves up about 4:30 this morning. As unworthy and undeserving, hell-bound as I was, He loved me and let me live long enough to hear the Word of God and to hear the Gospel. You say, how do you see the love of God in the book of Jonah? Yes, Nineveh's under the judgment of God. Yes, judgment is coming. Yes, 120,000 souls hang in the balance. But God loved him so much that He stayed His judgment long enough for somebody to stand and proclaim the Word of God. And let me ask you today, ladies and gentlemen, where would any of us be if God hadn't loved us enough to send somebody by to love us and point us to Jesus Christ? I'm glad He discovered the depths of the love of God. Brother Larry sitting back there by that pole, wave at me, book man. This is Brother Larry. Got won to God over the telephone by a man named Johnny Pope. Johnny Pope is a pastor in Texas, and he's preached all over this country for the last 257 years. And he's as good today as he was the first time I ever heard him. He's the only preacher I know that can preach over 10 minutes and keep my attention. You say, how long does Brother Johnny preach? You don't go with a watch. You take a calendar to hear him preach. But I love him with all my heart. He's not only a great preacher and a wise man, but he's an awesome Christian. He's an awesome Christian. And he loves the Lord. And aren't you glad, Larry, instead of dying without God, God let you live long enough for Johnny Pope to pick up that telephone, son, and win you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mohammed, you're glad when you was a sinner lost and undone, God kept you out of hell long enough to hear the Word of God preach and somebody tell you about Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, as Jonah is in the belly of that whale and going down into the deep and going down into the deep, let me tell you what he's learning. He's learning the depths of the love of God. It makes me think of a songwriter. If we would think the ocean feel, and though the sky was a parchment made, and every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. I'm so glad that my Father in heaven tells in the wonderful book that He has given wonderful things in the Bible I see, but this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. But God is rich in mercy, wherein His great love He hath loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. No matter what your name is, where you from, what you've done, how long you've been doing it, who you got hooked up with in the process, there's no sin, there's no depth, there's no boundary, there is no border. Somebody help me in this room today. I'm glad He learned the depth of the love of God. He learned the depths of the love of God, that He loves everybody, stays His judgment on them, that they can hear a message of salvation. Oh, thank God for the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, the phone call, the soul winner, the witness, that human instrument that God used to bring the message of salvation to your life. He learned the depths of the love of God. Secondly, at the end of chapter 1, all through chapter number 2, he learned in Wellfish University the danger of missing and disobeying the will of God. Yes, in the belly of that whale, he learned the danger of disobeying and missing the will of God. The Bible said when the Lord came to Jonah and told him what he wanted him to do, he had so much prejudice, he had so much premated ideas, he wanted to run his own life. He said, I'm going to flee from the presence of the Lord. And may I say to every individual in this room today, the worst decision you'll ever make in your life is to go in the opposite direction of where God's leading you in your life. But notice the Bible says this, and I believe it teaches you and I this. Jonah tried to flee from the presence of the Lord and his country, but he never did it. Because when he went down to Joppa, God was there. He got on that ship and God was there. Here he is thinking he's left God way back over there in his homeland. He's going to the opposite position. He's going to float his own boat. He's going to call his own shots. He's going to run his own life and leave God far behind. I see him as he pays the fare. And can I just say, if anybody pays a fare, it is the individual that decides to go in the opposite direction that God is leading him to go. But I see Jonah as he pays that fare. I see Jonah as he gets on that ship. I see that ship as it lifts up the anchor, puts out the hoist, and here they sail. He's waving bye to God, waving bye to the will of God, waving bye to all them rules and regulations. I mean, just waving goodbye to what he knows God wants him to do. Now he's out in the middle of the ocean. He's finally free. He's finally got rid of God. Now he can call his own shots, run his own life. But there was a problem. The Bible said that God prepared a great wind. And that great wind was so bad, it uses a term in the book of Jonah that means it was like boiling. The sea was boiling. And those men looked around and said, God is mad at somebody on this ship. And they go down there and there's an independent fundamental Baptist asleep on the side of the boat. And the captain kicked him and woke him up and said, man, what's wrong with you? We're in the middle of a storm. If you know God, call on him, because somebody is on this boat that's causing this condemnation to come of all of us. And Jonah said, well, I tell you, it could be me, because I've been running from God for the last little bit and I'm not doing what God wants me to do. And they said, well, what do you want us to do with you? And man, here's what sin does. He wanted his freedom. He wanted to get away from God. He wanted to run his own life. But sin had took him so much to the bottom, and disobeying the will of God had took him so much to the bottom, he's suicidal. He says, just throw me overboard. Let me drown in the sea. God will kill me, and peace will come to you. Can I tell you something today? I'm glad for the love of God. I'm glad for the depths of the love of God. But ladies and gentlemen, I must be honest to tell you, there is a danger of disobeying the will of God. It'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Brother, he's paying the price of disobeying God. He's paying the price of having God in his rearview mirror. Let me make a quick application. If you're in this room today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you've never believed the gospel and called upon the name of the Lord, the greatest price any person has ever paid for rejecting Jesus Christ is to die without God and spend eternity in a place called hell. But I want to tell you, I'm glad you don't have to go there. Man don't have to go there. Woman, you don't have to go there. Jesus paid it all and Jesus paid the price. And I'm glad when I was a sinner on my way to hell, I heard a message that God had prepared another place for people to go. And I'm glad it's a place called heaven. But oh, if you die without Jesus Christ, you'll pay that ultimate price. But let me say this to you today that claim to be a Christian. You are saved. There's a thing in your life called the plan of God and the will of God and what God wants in your life. And listen to your pastor today. In the name of the Father and Son and sweet Holy Spirit, the most precious thing in your life outside of your no-so personal soul salvation is the plan of God and the will of God and what God has for your life. Whatever that will is, whatever that plan is, you find it, you follow it, you never forsake it, and you finish it. Because the Bible said in the first epistle of the Apostle John, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Don't disobey God. Don't run in God's opposite direction. Run to God. Jump up in his arms and sing with the songwriter, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you and I will never improve on God's plan and his will for our life. You say, Brother Joe, I'm here today and I'm a Christian and I have no idea what God wants me to do. Well, I can give you a few starters. Live right. Be faithful to church. Give to the Lord. Witness to others. Be a soul winner. That's just for starters. You say, what else is left? Can I tell you, the eye hasn't seen and the ear has not heard. And I sure hope after 40 years of being your preacher, I sure hope I have betrayed. It is a thrill. It is an honor. It is a joy to be in the Lord's service, to serve the living God and honor God with your life. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not enough money. That is not enough material in this whole wide world. We're the price of missing out on the will of God for your life. And Jonah had to learn in Whalefish University, there is a danger of disobeying the will of God. And here he is. And you go home today and read chapter 2 real slow. And boy, you'll see the sufferings of this young man by the name of Jonah. He's in the belly of this whale. He compared it to being in the depths of hell. He said, the weeds were wrapped around me, and I heard my roaring. I want to tell you something. When the joy bells quit ringing and the songbirds of God's mercy quit singing, we need to find us a place to pray and say, oh God, have mercy on me. Can I remind you, God is holy, God is divine, and God is just, and he's worthy of our sacrifice. He's worthy of our obedience. He's worthy of our faithfulness. Don't learn the hard way the dangers of disobeying the will of God for your life. And then number 3. Well, I'm glad I don't have to end it with Jonah going in the belly of that whale down to the depths. Because he discovered something else. He not only discovered the depths of God's love. He not only saw and discovered and experienced the dangers of missing God's will. Oh, but he discovered and he found the deliverance that's in God's grace. And I just say that one more time. He discovered the deliverance of God's grace. Oftentimes, legalistic preachers give me a hard time because I don't preach on things that I don't think is in the Bible. And because I don't preach on things that's in the Bible, they call me liberal and a compromiser. You say, what do you call people who preach on things that's not in the Bible? Idiots. Amen. If I'm the godfather of compromise, the dude that called me that is the godfather of idiocy. See. I don't preach on things that's not in the Bible. If I can't show you in the Bible, I'm not going to preach that. I'm never not going to die for something that's not in the Bible. That obey your wife, that's in the Bible. So when I say things like this, that gives my enemies more ammunition. See, I told you. See, that old Brother Joe, this is what they say. He can't preach on nothing without getting to mercy and grace. Thank you. Why, he can't even tell it like it is without getting to mercy and grace. Thank you. So to keep my reputation, I'm going to preach on some more grace right here in the book of Jonah. You say, Brother Joe, you've lost your mind. Well, give me a minute to express myself. You say, Brother Joe, you just said that Jonah paid a price for disobeying God. Glad you were listening. Brother Joe, you said Jonah went in the opposite direction of God. Jonah, I'm glad you're listening. Brother Joe, you said that Jonah compared his punishment to being in the depths of hell. Yep, I'm glad you were listening. But right in the midst of this dark, bleak hour in this disobedient prophet's life, I see one of the greatest manifestations of the grace of God that's in all of the Bible. Boy, I wish you'd point it out. Have I got time? You ready? They picked Jonah up. This is country. And they chucked him. For our northern friends. And they tossed him overboard. They chucked him. Now, can I ask you this? What happens to most people that get chucked into the ocean? I'll never forget, we was baptized. Wave at me, Tommy Paget, wave at me. I won't ever forget it. Many years ago, I was baptizing Tommy after ye trusted Christ. And I said, Tommy, now hold your breath, son. We're going under the water. Son, he held on to that glass. He held on to that. And I took his hand. When I got his hand, that boy's been baptized 3 times in one service. And after we went to lunch, I said to Miss Arthur, I said, Julie, what was little Tommy so afraid of? She said, Joe, sometimes your ignorance marvels me. She said, and you're picking and playing with everybody. Don't you remember what you said to the little fella? I said, what did I say? That's bad when you say so much you have to be reminded on what you said. I said, what did I say? He looked at him and said, son, don't worry about it. I've only lost 3 or 4 of my years of pastoring. Honey, no wonder you held on for dear life. What happens to most people when they get chunked overboard? Unless they know how to swim. But I don't see where Jonah swam to land. And I don't think they chunked him over and said, hold on, big boy, here comes a lifeline. They were glad to get rid of him. And by the way, when the devil chunks you in the ocean, don't expect your miserable, sinful, lost friends to throw you a lifeline. And he don't have on a life jacket. I never cease to be amazed. Get on an airplane and that lady says, ladies and gentlemen, fasten your seatbelt, please. Listen to this safety presentation. The seat that you're sitting on becomes a cushion in case we have a water landing. A water landed. A water landed? Brother, if one of them planes ever goes down, I'm going to tell you, you better put enough fuel on that airplane, son. You hear me? My life is in your hands. And you put that high octane fuel in there too, buddy. And fill it up. I'm thinking, yeah, while I'm floating in the ocean, the sharks eat the bottom half. Yeah, that ain't comforting. That ain't comforting. Man, he didn't have on a life jacket. He didn't have a lifeline. He didn't know how to swim. By all rights, it looks like he's going to go the way of everybody else that's gone, that's fell into the sea. He looks like he will die backslid on God. Paul Harvey, page 2, I got to get out of here. The word prepared is mentioned 4 times in the book of Jonah. Yeah, the Bible said the Lord prepared a great wind to get that boy in that whale. But the Bible also says, and the Lord prepared a great fish. Oh my, here is Jonah going down into the deep. He doesn't have long to live. But all coming up out of the deep is his mercy vessel. Coming out of the deep is a whale called grace. You say being in the ocean is a bad thing, and being in the mouth of a whale is a bad thing. That's better than drowning in the deep blue sea. You know why he didn't drown when they chucked him overboard? Because God had made a provision. Underline that right there. Because God had... Well, glory. Lord, I could run to town to that. The Lord prepared a great fish before Jonah ever got on that boat. God made provisions. Before he ever disobeyed the call of God, God had provision. Before the storm ever came, God had provision. Before he ever discovered the deep blue sea, God had made provision. That was a vehicle of salvation before that was ever a sinner. You say, what has that got to do with me? I'm glad that God prepared and God provided and God has made a way that every person that I trust Jesus Christ can be saved from drowning in sin and going to hell. I'm glad grace rescued Jonah. Well, glory. One day this lady whale and this man whale got together and had a baby whale. Amen. And that little baby whale grew to be a big old whale. And I don't know how long the provision was made before Jonah ever needed it, but right on time, God was there. I'm glad this whale wasn't God's plan B or plan C. It was God's plan. He knew that Jonah would sin. He knew he would rebel. And he said, that old boy's going to get in that sea, but I can't let him die like that. I got a vehicle that's going to... You say, what's that got to do with us? Aren't you glad when you and I were drowning in the deeps of sin, headed to a devil's hell? Somebody said, hey, look to the cross and look to Jesus. And God had made provision. And aren't you glad in the darkest hour of your life, grace rescues the sinner? But in closing now, grace not only rescued him, grace restores him. 3 days and three nights in that whale's belly. And he's finally had enough. And he starts calling on God. Can I ask you today, when you gonna have enough of drowning in your own will and own failure for you call out to God? And after 3 days and three nights, he began to call upon the Lord, and finally he got real and he got honest. Lord, I will pay that which I have vowed unto thee. In other words, God, I'm going to live up to all them promises I've been making you. How many of you have made some promises to God? You need to keep those vows. I'm going to keep those vows and promises that I've made unto you. Salvation is of the Lord. And right in the belly of that whale, he used this term, I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'd love to have been in there and heard a tape of that. That old boy starts praising God and thanking God in the belly of that whale. And I don't know what the whale thought, but a God in heaven who is rich in love and mercy heard Jonah's cry and answered Jonah's cry. And the fish threw him up, because grace not only rescued Jonah, but grace restores Jonah. And there he is laying on the ground. And I don't want to make you sick right before lunch, but I don't think Jonah looked like this. After 3 days, I know its breath had to stink. Don't you just love these people that don't understand space? And they can't talk unless their nose is right here. And they'll run up and go, you recognize me? And you're going to go, not your face, but your breath's familiar, you know? 3 days and three nights. I wonder what he looked like. Rolling around in them seaweeds. The gastric digestive juices of that whale trying to dissolve a backslidden preacher. No wonder the well got nauseated. Spit him up. I wonder what that ride was like. Old Jonah, he's had a rough ride. He gets on a boat. They chuck him overboard. He takes a whale ride. And phew. But I bet that ride out was better than that ride in. And he's laying on the seashore. I'm sure, unless he was like Elvis. Elvis Presley is the only man I know that could dive off of a 100-foot cliff into a hole of water in Hawaii and come up with every hair in place. Three ladies that were born in the 50s almost shouted just then. God bless you, Sharon. Amen. God bless you. But Austin, can't you see that? There he lays, his hair is disheveled, his skin is bleached white, his clothes is soaking wet, he's got seaweeds all over him, he's disobeyed God, he's run from God, his testimony is shot, his influence is shot, it looks like he's forfeited the will of God for his life, and most people would say, well, he'll go to the ash heap, he'll go to the dump, nothing good ever happened out of his life. Wrong, 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 wrong. Because he discovered the deliverance of the grace of God. Because not only did grace rescue Jonah, not only did grace restore Jonah, but grace rested upon Jonah. Because the Bible said in our text, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Can you imagine laying there unworthy, unfit? I mean, he looks like a mess. The Lord point of his life, but God's grace steps in and says, Jonah, you want a second chance? You want a second chance? I'll love you again. I'll pray. I'll help you again. I'll use you again. Jonah, do you want a second chance? I see him jump up out of that beach. He said, God, if you love me so much to give me a second chance, I'm not going to miss it this time. And God said, go to Nineveh. Do what I told you to do. And he went to Nineveh and preached. Listen to this, an 8-word sermon. And 120,000 souls was spared the judgment of God. Pastor in a church, all these years, I hear this, and it hurts me every time I hear it. Working with people, trying to restore people, and when I hear this, it hurts me. But it won't ever be the same, preacher. It won't ever be the same. I mean, I know God will forgive me. And I know we can patch things up. And I know I can get another breath. And I know we can go. It just won't ever be the same. Who said that? Did God say that? Or did you say that? Or did some religious figure that don't know mercy and grace say that? Can I tell you what a grace preacher says? Can I tell you what a man that believes in the grace and the love of God will say? Call me liberal if you want to. Everybody else has. Here it is. You ready? Quit saying that it won't be the same. Because with God and mercy and grace, it might be better. Three people ought to run right now if you're able. Oh, you say, Brother Arthur, how in the world can anything be better on the other side of failure, on the other side of fear, on the other side of disappointment, on the other side of setback, when I've ruined and made a mess out of everything? How in the world can it be greater? Because standing somewhere in the shadows of your failure, it's a great God with great love and great mercy and great grace, because God is greater. Man, we got to close. We got to close. That clock's running away with me. And I want to sing so bad. I ain't got a good voice enough to sing. I thought about rapping, but I just can't seem to get into rhythm. So I'm just going to tell you, if I could, I'd sing a little bit. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my hang-ups of fear and unbelief, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Hey! I know this is a Baptist church, and I know we're having our dignified Sunday morning vespers, but I wonder if there's anybody in this place willing to lose your dignity just a millisecond to say God's bigger than you, and He's bigger than your sin, and He's bigger than your hang up, and He's bigger than your disappointment, and He's bigger than your fear. He's bigger than the devil. He's bigger than hell, and He's bigger than sin. I'm glad His word is big. His mercy is big. His grace is big. His love is big. His salvation is big. It's peace, it's joy, it's heaven. Hallelujah. God's bigger. Hallelujah. Glory. You say, you mean He'll do it for me? It is no secret what God can do for what He's done for others. He'll do for you. You can graduate today from Wellfish University and learn the depths of God's love, the danger of disobeying God's will, and the deliverance of God's grace. Because when you give up on yourself and everybody in your life, God comes the second time. And by the way, that second birth you got's better than the first one. And the second Adam's better than the first one. Let's stand. I got more preach than I got time.